Good afternoon, Republic listeners. This is the Tommy Crier Show. It's on every Saturday from 2 until 4. Today, instead of hearing Tommy's voice on this radio program, he has asked me, Larry Beecraft, to host his show today because Tommy is on the road. I know that there's a lot of things you could be doing on a fall afternoon like this. Here it is, Saturday the 15th of 2007. And I just got through listening to a little bit of sports myself. Auburn is leading Mississippi State 14-13. Alabama will be playing this afternoon. And, of course, I'm betting on Alabama beating the Arkansas Razorbacks. But a big game we got today is Southern Cal against Nebraska, and I hope the Cornhuskers beat their rear end. Today we're not going to have any talk about taxes. I have a show on Saturday mornings on the same network between 9 and 10. So if you can get up on Saturday mornings and listen, I'd appreciate it. Here at this time on 2 to 4, Tommy Crier is usually talking taxes and other interesting topics. But since he's given me this slot today, I'm going to be picking up with where I was this morning on my show. And today we're going to have as my guest Charles Giuliani, who is incidentally a host here on Republic Broadcasting. John, have we got Charles on the line with us?
Right here.
Charles, where shall we pick up from this morning?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. We were talking about this morning about the events of 9/11, and we got through some of the major events. And a lot of the inconsistencies, and, you know, we talked about Shanksville, and we talked about the Pentagon, and we talked about WTC up in New York and pointed out some of the major problems with the official story about the events of 9/11. But one of the things we were talking about this morning was all these cars that were burning around the World Trade Center site.
Yeah, did you get that site?
Yeah, I did. I'd already found that. By doing a search on the internet, and I was looking at those pictures, and they're very, very interesting. You know, the FDR, that parkway is on the south side, runs along the river on the south side of downtown Manhattan. So it would be, you know, what, 3/4 of a mile away from the World Trade Center. But there's a whole lot of burned cars that are there, and then there's a parking lot close to World Trade Center where there are burned cars also. What do you know about this situation involving the cars that were burned in the New York area during 9/11?
Well, to produce those kind of effects, you had to have a tremendous amount of heat, much more than what could be accounted for by a common hydrocarbon fuel-fed fire, which is what we had in the WTC towers. You know, those fires were very limited, very small in scope. They only were burning in about 10 floors in each building. 10 or 15 floors, and they weren't that intense. You know, they want us to believe they were. They were not. The government even admits they didn't exceed about 800 degrees Fahrenheit. You know, when the planes initially impacted, it was a little hotter. It was probably around 1,400 degrees. But as soon as the fuel burned out, which only took about a minute or two, the fires immediately dropped down to a much cooler temperature of 800 degrees. In the South Tower, the fires were almost completely burned out, which is why I think they had to take that down so quickly, because they didn't want to wait till there was no fire at all and then have the towers come down. That would look really suspicious. So before the fires completely went out, they had to take them down. But we know the fires were pretty much already out. For example, there were firemen who were at the floor right below the point of impact, and they radioed down and said, we just put out two small pockets of fire, and we're now going to proceed to the next floor where the plane hit and see if there's any survivors. Obviously, the fires were not intense in that area like they want us to believe. And we'll talk more about the North Tower being the same way when we get back.
All right, well, we've got this commercial break coming up. Folks, instead of Tommy Crier, you got me, Larry Beecraft, on today. So stay tuned. We got 2 hours, and we're going to take calls in the second half of this show. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
We're back, Republic listeners. Today, my guest on Tommy Crier Show with me, Larry Beecraft, as host, is Charles Giuliani, and we're talking about the events of 9/11. Charles, right before the commercial break, we were talking about the fires in the World Trade Centers. You were in the middle of something before we got interrupted. Tell us what it was you were talking about.
Yeah, I was talking. I mentioned first the South Tower, how insignificant the fires were. You know, here's these firemen radioing down saying, "We just put out two small pockets of fire, and we're going to go up now and see if there's any survivors, you know, up to the floor where the plane had hit." Now, we're supposed to believe at that time, this was just before the tower had collapsed, the South Tower. We're supposed to believe that the fires in that area were so intense that it caused the steel to weaken and, you know, brought the building down. And yet, there they were putting out small pockets of fire, and they were going to go up to where the plane hit. How could there have been intense fires up there to hot enough to weaken the steel? It's ridiculous. There were no intense fires in that building anymore at that point. Everything had died down. In fact, there was black smoke jetting out of both those towers, indicating that the fires therein were suffocating. They weren't getting enough oxygen to maintain any, you know, high temperature for any length of time. And the same in the North Tower. We have a woman who was seen just before that tower collapsed. She's seen waving her arms out the gaping hole. She's standing there wearing white pants. She had long, dirty blonde hair. And, you know, she's looking relatively, you know, calm, unscathed at least. She's not calm, but I mean, she's not injured at all or burnt or anything. I mean, her pants are white. She doesn't even have smoke damage on her.
Wow.
And you can see inside the building, you can see, like, you know, remains of some walls, some partitions or whatever. But it's relatively dark in there. If there were fires raging in there, not only would she not be able to stand there relatively comfortable, but you would be able to see inside that building. Everything would be brightly illuminated, but it's not. It's pitch dark in there. There were no raging fires at all. But yet, in spite of that, we discover that up until December 19th, the fires at Ground Zero were so intense that they could not put them out. They were constantly dousing Ground Zero with fire hoses.
Yeah, well, that's the stuff that's the molten lead in the basement.
Molten steel. Puddles of molten steel were found underneath insulating layers of ash and dust 6 and 8 weeks after the attacks. They were finding.
Well, let's go back to the impact.
Well, yeah, but.
You know, we had this morning Daniel from Canada called in, and he was talking about the central cores. And I've seen pictures of the central cores on trade centers. And, gee, they look like they were made out of, you know.
Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, cement. Cement for the core. Yeah. Okay, buddy. Whatever.
Well,
see, this is the people who say this, I'm telling you now, Larry, they don't believe it. They know it's bunk. They're trying to deceive people. They're trying to create this, this phony idea that the official story makes sense, and you know, they're deliberately throwing a wrench in the works. The truth is, NIST and other government agencies themselves admit that there were 47 central steel columns. They don't deny that. So when people like that call in, I don't even just get out of my face. I just have no patience and no time for people like that. Quite frankly, I think a lot of them are actually on. I deal with them all the time on paltalk.com. We have a room there called 9/11 was an inside job. People come in there all the time and they play this game, and that's all it is a game. They're probably on Homeland Security's payroll, and that's not paranoid to say that. Our government and many other governments around the world have been doing this for decades. They hire people, especially now through Homeland Security. They've hired tens of thousands of people. It's the fastest job growth industry in the country, not only because they're hiring a lot of people, but because we don't have any more job growth in this country.
That's true.
But, you know, that's what they do. They go into chat rooms, blog sites, and they just shill all day long, just lie after lie after lie to try to defend these mass-murdering thievish pigs who have stolen the White House, lied us into this Iraq fraud war that everybody knows now is a scam and that we have no business being there. And yet, you know, he's taking measures now that you can't even protest this war without being arrested anymore. It's ridiculous.
Well, hey, let's stop a minute, Charles. You know, we picked up on a new topic. Let's put aside the 9/11 for a minute, and let's get back to actions of governments and events in the past where similar things have been done. For example, this type of activity is, you know, called Hitler burning of the Reichstag. You know, a lot of people say that.
Hegelian dialectic, yeah.
You know, Hitler, in order to gather power, he burnt the Reichstag, the German chancellery, the place where the parliament met, and then he blamed it upon some dimwit communist. But governments have been doing that for a long time in the past. What other events can you recall that are similar in nature?
Sure, our own government, as a matter of fact. And, you know, once you get this historical perspective, understanding 9/11 is an inside job. It's just a given. You don't even have to look into it. It's obvious what it is because it's the same old game over and over and over. Our government now, for a very long time, has been engaged in things like this. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. You create a phony crisis, and you blame it on the enemy that you want to attack. And, you know, the public will be suckered into it because they think that they were attacked and they need to go and retaliate against this enemy, when all the government wants is to seize property from them, you know, get resources from them, seize their territories, set up bases in the country to turn it into an outpost of the empire, and then use those bases as launching pads to engage in other invasions in other countries in the vicinity. You know, it's an old game. It goes back to ancient times, and the U.S. certainly is no stranger to this. It's been doing it for a long time. As a matter of fact, you can trace this even back further. You can go back to the war that we fought with Mexico to annex, you know, Texas and parts of New Mexico and Arizona and California. They pulled a fiasco there. It was already well established through treaty that the Rio Grande was Mexican territory. And yet, in spite of that, Washington sent troops down to the Rio Grande to guard that area as though they were protecting it as a U.S. territory. The Mexican soldiers were enraged, and they had every reason to be. So they fired upon, in fact, they weren't even attempting to kill them. They just fired to, you know, get them out of there. And immediately that was seized upon as an act of war, and that launched what became the, you know, the Mexican War. And it was all staged. You know, they did the same thing with the Spanish-American War. We wanted to annex the Philippines. We wanted Puerto Rico. We wanted Cuba, and did get Cuba for a time. Still have, of course, as a territory, the Puerto Rico and the Philippines. And so in order to justify waging war with Spain and seizing these real estate properties, we set off a bomb on the USS Maine, killed a couple hundred people. And immediately they seized upon that as an act of war by the Spanish, and the American people were suckered into fighting this war. But
back
it turns out...
It,
right. 77 years later, in 1975, Congress investigated this and determined that, yeah, the explosion originated aboard the ship. It was not from outside. It didn't come from the Spaniards. Now, my question is, if they could determine that 77 years later, don't you think they could have figured that out right away? Of course. But they didn't want to investigate it because they did it, and they wanted to blame Spain. And we find the same thing in World War One. Wilson lied to the American people. He said he was going to keep us out of the war. He had no intention of doing that. He wanted to get us in the war, or I should say the string pullers that were manipulating him wanted us to get into the war. So he won his campaign re-election in 1916 based on that promise, that phony promise. All the while, he was sending U.S. Ships over to England and France, sending them weapons and other supplies to aid them in their war effort against Germany. And, you know, the Lusitania was one of them. They stocked it with munitions. In fact, the German government officials had more sympathy for American innocent civilians than our own government did. They sent mercenaries to the dock warning people before they boarded the ship what was going to happen. You know, this ship is going to be fired at because it's your government is, you know, packing it with weapons. U.S. government officials were there assuring the passengers nothing to fear. This is just war propaganda. Don't listen to them. And, of course, we know what happened to the Lusitania.
Yeah.
It was sunk. And, you know, that didn't work immediately, but they began a major anti-German propaganda campaign headed up by Walter Lippmann. And it worked. After a couple of years or so of constantly demonizing the Germans, once the Zimmermann Telegraph fiasco happened, that was it. That was the final straw. They were ready to go to war. They did the same thing, of course, with the Japanese in World War II. FDR won re-election, just like Wilson before him, on the same phony promise. I'll keep us out of war. I promise none of your sons and daughters will fight in any foreign war. While all the while, he had every intention of getting us involved. He was sending Lend-Lease, just like Wilson did, to England and France. Didn't work, of course. Hitler didn't take the bait. He knew what happened in World War One, and he was trying as much as possible to keep us out of the war, at least for as long as he could, you know. So then they turned to the Pacific as an excuse to get in the war. They started instigating Japan. They imposed an embargo upon them. They were sending Lend-Lease to China, helping China fight against the Japanese. Well, that was it. You know, they decided to attack. And U.S. officials, of course, knew when and where it was going to be because they had cracked the Purple Code. And they just sat back and let it happen. So, you know, sometimes it's our government doing something, staging an actual crisis itself. Or other times they instigate a crisis, see it coming, and just let it happen. In any case, their hands are stained with blood. They set up thousands of Americans to die so that they can get their little war game going.
And here in this instance, there's no doubt as to the cause and provocation of our war effort. It was 9/11.
Sure.
We're immediately turning around and invading Afghanistan, and within a short period of time after that, we're invading Iraq.
Yeah, it turns out.
And even the government itself admits that 9/11 is the cause for our invasions.
Sure. And, you know, they were planning to invade not only Iraq, they were planning to invade Afghanistan long before 9/11. In the PNAC document, of course, they mentioned, you know, the Project for the American Century created by Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Pearl Feith, Abrams, Jeb Bush, et al. They planned in their September 2000 report, Rebuilding America's Defenses, to go into Iraq in the coming years so the U.S. could seize its oil reserves and remain the dominant force in the world into the 21st century. And they said to do this, to catalyze the American public behind this agenda, that we would require a new Pearl Harbor-type event. Of course, the evening of 9/11, Bush says the new Pearl Harbor struck the United States today, of the 21st century, you know, conveniently.
Wow. Well, Charles, it sounds like we got another commercial coming up. This is a real good, convenient breaking spot. Let's pick up with this topic right after this commercial break. Stay tuned, listeners.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Well, listeners, we're back. This is Larry Beecraft. I'm host today on the Tommy Crier Show. We've got until 4 o'clock Central Time for this program, and I have as my guest today Charles Giuliani. And before the break, Charles, we were talking about very interesting topic of governments themselves being the instigators of things of this nature in order to get the population behind a major government project like the invasion of another country.
And you look at the propaganda, how they were beefing the public up for this. In June, 3 months before the attacks, the film Pearl Harbor was released. That's interesting because the 60th anniversary wasn't up until December. Why didn't they wait until around December, the time of the actual anniversary, to release it? Why earlier in the year like that? Because they wanted to get people pumped up for the new Pearl Harbor that was coming 3 months later. And the film, of course, was pure propaganda. You know, it hailed FDR as the great hero that was caught off guard, but he came through for the American people and he saved us from the evil Japanese. And you know, this was to, again, psychologically condition and prep people for what was to come. The new Pearl Harbor, that's what they kept calling it. And that's what they were calling for a year in advance in their new Pearl Harbor, PNAC document. And again, Bush writes in his diary that evening, "The Pearl Harbor of the 21st century struck the United States today." I mean, come on, this is just it's so obvious. They were, in fact, planning to invade Afghanistan, not just Iraq. They were planning to invade Afghanistan long before Bush was even in office.
Well, wasn't that for the purpose of getting oil? They want a pipeline across Afghanistan?
Right. Interestingly, Halliburton, Unocal, Bechtel, and a few other companies had invested about $10 billion into surveying the whole country, you know, to build this pipeline to exploit the oil and natural gas in the Caspian Sea. And they were going to get the contract, except at the end of 99, the Taliban broke the deal off and decided to go with an Argentine company, Brightus, instead. Well, that enraged them, and they began lobbying Congress immediately to invade, you know, so they can still get their contract, you know, still get their pipeline. And so the Taliban was threatened. As a matter of fact, in June, 3 months before the attacks, on the State Department's website, a State Department official sent a memo to the Taliban telling them, we're promising you a carpet of gold or a carpet of bombs. It's up to you. You know, either accept our offer, you know, we'll reward you handsomely, give us this pipeline, or we're going to give you a carpet of bombs. We're going to bomb you. Conveniently, now 9/11 comes along, and they get their little war. You know, but understand, it's a lot more involved than just getting their war, not only in Afghanistan and Iraq, but also to seize absolute totalitarian power here at home to trash our Constitution, which they've done. You know, on paper, we no longer have any constitutional rights. People don't realize it yet because they're not seeing the open, outright manifestation of that yet. They always do this. They get the laws in place first, and then slowly they ease in the enforcement of it. But it's already on the books. You don't have a constitution anymore in this country. Americans are totally oblivious to that fact. They need to wake up to it. Your rights have been totally legislated away through these phony, you know, Patriot Act laws and the Homeland Security Act and the Military Commissions Act, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act. All of these laws enable them now at any time. If they don't like you, they can arrest you as a non-material supporter of terrorism. That's a nice broad term, can apply to anything they want it to. And they can ship you off to Guantanamo. They can deport you. You know, where you can be tortured with total impunity. No one will ever know. And, you know, you don't have to be told what the charge is, who made the charge. You could be tried based on hearsay evidence. And according to the president's dictates, you know, he decides life or death sentence for you. You know, you can literally be put to death after they torture you, of course, because that's more fun. You would not be afforded any legal representation, nothing. I mean, those laws are there now. They're already there.
Hey, Charles, let me stop you right there. Have you read the seen those Northwood reports?
That's another example of this type of thing.
Well, tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, anybody who wants, you can call the Library of Congress, and they'll be happy to send it to you. It's a 14-page document. It's an official government document, part of the famous Pentagon Papers. It was a proposal drafted up in 1962, signed by all the Joint Chiefs of Staff, including Robert McNamara, whereby the U.S. government was going to launch fake terrorist attacks against U.S. targets. It was going to involve shooting down passenger planes, sinking passenger boats, blowing up government buildings in Washington, shooting people in the streets of Miami. They were going to frame Castro as the perpetrator of all of this and use it as an excuse to invade Cuba and finally take Castro out. You know, they were embarrassed and enraged over the failure of the Bay of Pigs. They wanted to take him out. And to do that, they were going to kill, according to the document, thousands of Americans. One of the scenarios involved slamming planes into buildings, hijacking them, and using remote control. It actually states that. Now, they had that technology back in the 60s, and there are people today saying, oh, they don't have that technology. They can't use remote control to fly a plane. Oh, give me a break. Anybody ever buy their kid a remote-controlled aircraft? It's the same thing. I mean, this technology's been around for a long time now. You know, how do people think they flew spacecraft to the moon before they sent human beings there? They flew them remote control. I've actually heard people say this. They don't have the ability to fly planes remote control. Come on. Global Hawk has been around for a lot while, but Global Hawk is you know, just the latest in a long series of these type of craft.
Now let's get back around to 9/11. What exactly was the motivating force for the elites in our society and in our government to pull this off?
Well, I think we're going to another commercial.
Yeah, we are, and that may be a good spot to pick up after we come back. Yeah, folks, I hear that music telling us we've got a commercial break. stay tuned. This question will be posed again to Charles after our break. Stay tuned, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, folks, we're back. This is Larry B. Kraft. I'm hosting the Tommy Crier Show today between 2 and 4 p.m. Central. My guest is Charles Giuliani. Charles, right before the break, and I want to tell you, we've got a caller that's coming in, John from Tennessee, but I'd like to for you to go ahead and answer my question that we had right before the break, which was, why?
Yeah,
why do we want to have this event, the 9/11, and what's its purpose?
Yeah, it's a multifaceted operation. There's a lot of things that they have gained from this and that they intended to gain. There is the obvious, you know, of course, they get to engage in their wars. And, you know, not only do they seize the oil reserves, both in Afghanistan, or should I say the Caspian Sea adjacent to Afghanistan. And by the way, that pipeline, of course, is now being constructed. It's almost done. Halliburton's over there, as always, and not only did they get the oil, you know, Iraq has the second largest oil reserves in the world. And by the way, that should help people to understand why we're paying such high prices for gas and oil right now. People might say, well, wait a minute. No, if we have all that much more oil, prices should drop, right? Well, yeah, if things went according to common decency, yeah, which isn't so common anymore, is it? But you know, if things were conducted as they, as you would think they would be, yeah, that would make the prices go down. But no, in the neocon mindset, this is a great opportunity to raise the prices because they have achieved a complete monopoly now over oil. It's all, you know, the bulk of the world's oil supplies are now in their hands, and there's nobody significant out there that can pose a threat to their price-setting monopoly. So now, having seized these oil reserves, they can charge, and in fact are charging, whatever they want, and that's why you see ExxonMobil showing record-high profits, along with other oil companies, because of these high prices. And don't forget, Bush officials are heavily invested in these companies. But that's not it. I mean, that's just one factor. Another one, obviously, is to advance the New World Order. You know, their push for world domination, global government. They just seized an important country in the Middle East. It's a very strategic location. They can use it as a launching pad to invade other countries like Iran and Syria, which they've clearly indicated they want to go into next. They just got to come up with another fake pretext for it, of course. And if people don't wake up in this country and put a stop to these scoundrels, that's just what they're going to do.
Yeah,
we could potentially wind up with World War III here. So it's invading countries, it's stealing their resources, it's advancing their New World Order agenda, and it's to justify massive raping and pillaging of people's investment funds, raising taxes, creating all these other bureaucracies like Homeland Security, grabbing more power through these sleazy constitution-trampling pieces of legislation, keeping people in fear, making them more susceptible to, giving into draconian measures like what they're taking. You know, people are just acquiescing, letting them take more and more power away, and it has nothing to do with fighting terrorism. We got wide open borders. They're not concerned about preventing a foreign terrorist threat. They're the terrorists, first of all. But it's quite obvious, even if you believe their official story, they're not fighting foreign terrorists. Why would the borders be wide open? They should be more secure now than ever. In fact, on the contrary, they're less secure than they were before 9/11. I mean, this is nonsense. And here we are in the middle of an orange alert, and we're having a stand-down right now across the country, you know. Anyway,
hey,
we do have a caller.
Charles, we got a caller from Tennessee. John, can you put John on?
I'm here.
you got a question for Charles.
Yeah, I do. But before I do, I just want to say, you know, when I was a young guy, 18, I told you this morning I was in the Air Force. And prior to that, I worked on the oil pipelines and actually had the owner of the company come to me and tell me that he could get me out of the military. Now, wanted me to keep working for him. When I was a kid, I didn't know how in the world that could happen, but the older you get, the more you realize these people do have a great deal of power, and I believe he could have done it after what I've heard today. Charles' question I had was this morning. We were talking about the Pentagon and whatnot. It would be interesting, and I haven't heard it addressed, what area of the Pentagon, what was taking place in the area that got hit, and also the floors in the trade towers that were destroyed. I would venture to guess that the Pentagon may have had something to do with the accounting.
Yeah, that's
Charles,
cool.
Why don't you answer that?
Yeah, that is, in fact, the case. Of course, there was, very few people in there, certainly nobody of great significance as far as the top brass, all conveniently on the other side of the building, and yet they call these guys master planners, you know. If they were such master planners, why didn't they hit the other side of the building? Didn't they do their research?
Or the center in the courtyard, you know.
Yeah, and of course, that part of the building conveniently had recently been renovated to protect it from a direct strike from a bomb or a missile. Isn't that interesting that there was reinforced to contain damage so the fires and whatnot would not spread to other parts of the building? Boy, it doesn't sound like master planners to me, especially
when... I actually saw an interview. I don't know what the guy done for a living, but he had said that when he survived, someone came to him and looked at him and said, "You're supposed to be dead."
Well, you raised a good question. One of the offices in that section that... was targeted, was destroyed, housed several people who were investigating the missing $1.3 trillion, which later turned into $2.3 trillion, that was reported unaccounted for. They just didn't know what happened to it. That's a lot of cash to lose track of. I don't know how you can, lose that much money.
Well, it's one-fifth of the national debt. I'd say that's a chunk of change,
Yeah, I mean, we're talking thousands of wheelbarrows full of $1 million bills. How do you?
You're talking about 2,000 billion-dollar bills.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Anyway. I appreciate it. I just had a question. Did you happen to know what was on the floors that were hit in the trade towers?
Yeah, you know, I heard something on that once. I'm trying to recall what it was now. There was something there. There was some computer system. And I'm trying to remember what it was in charge of, but there was an important computer networking system that was headquartered there, and it contained all kinds of... Well, I know this with Building 7. That contained all of the Enron records at the SEC's headquarters there. You know, the Security and Exchange Commission had their office there, and all of the Enron investigation papers were there. Conveniently, they were all destroyed. Of course, there was an FBI and CIA local office in there. The Secret Service had an office in there. I mean, that whole place was just a rat's nest of all kinds of corrupt government agency headquarters. But in addition to all that, it was also housing a $12 million bunker that Giuliani had installed in there not long before 9/11, supposedly to serve as a command and control center in case of a crisis of that nature, where he could go with his minions and still run the city and be protected from bomb blasts and whatnot. But I would argue the real purpose for that bunker was to serve as the command and control center for the 9/11 attacks. Probably from there, the managers were able to steer the planes into the towers using remote control. They had perfect front row seat of what was happening. And they also probably managed the demolitions of the towers. And then later, when that building was destroyed, all the evidence, of course, would be destroyed with it.
Larry, one more comment, if you'll allow me.
Sure.
Okay. Earlier today, I'm not sure if it was on your morning program or if it was with Carl Sanders. Someone was talking about the Federal Reserve and a reinforced building and robots and whatnot. It's interesting. My son is a brick mason. And down here in Nashville, Tennessee, he told me about a huge building that they built, reinforced concrete block. And
where?
It turned out, pardon me?
Where?
In Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, but where? Downtown?
On the west, pardon me?
Downtown?
No, it's over on the west side of, if you're familiar with Nashville.
My backyard?
On Brick Church Pike and Trinity Lane area.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And according to him, it was something to do, they were building a Federal Reserve warehouse or something. The way that he described it to me, it was unbelievable. So I was wondering, we haven't heard, we've all heard about the gold that was in the basement at the trade towers. It sounds conspiratorial, but it was there.
On Trinity Lane?
No, that's what I'm asking. Now, not long after 2001, they built a Federal Reserve bank or a warehouse of some kind up here, and I was wondering if that could possibly be one of the buildings that, I think it was Charles this morning, may have been talking about. Maybe they built a branch here in Nashville. There's a lot of interesting things that are going on. Japan has moved their embassy from New Orleans to Nashville since 2001.
No kidding.
Actually, since Katrina. So, I mean, we're lining up. You had asked Charles why, what's their motivation? And it is absolutely control and furthering this global agenda that they've got that no one believes is happening.
And massive.
Are you telling me the Japanese embassy that was used to be in New Orleans is now in Nashville?
Well, that's what I had heard a year or so ago, not long after Katrina hit New Orleans. They are moving the Japanese embassy or have moved it to Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow.
And something that we need to consider, too, you know, Nissan has moved its world headquarters from California to Nashville. I mean... We're setting up for a global government, my friends, and I don't think there's any question about it.
No.
Tennessee is a centralized area.
Yeah.
I had an old man years ago tell me that he believed that Tennessee, Nashville in particular, with it being the Athens of the South, and we know that these plans have been in the works for hundreds of years. He told me if you take a string 8 or 10 inches long, put it on a map, stick a tack in Nashville and make a circle. that it's a centralized location, that he believed that Nashville would play a part, a huge part in the future.
Hey, that's not on the 33rd parallel, is it?
I don't know. No, it couldn't be because I think Dallas was.
Dallas, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And Dallas is to the southwest. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? Anyway, I appreciate you letting
me talk to you guys. Well, John, we appreciate the
calls. All right, take care.
Okay, Charles, let's get back to where we were. So we've got this desire on the part of government to create a situation like this that furthers their agendas. Now let's look at the events of 9/11 to see some of the telltale signs, you know, that this event is not as the government depicted, that it was a bunch of Arab ne'er-do-wells that can't fly airplanes that pulled off some spectacular flight maneuvers to create these events, hitting the World Trade Center twice, and then the Pentagon. What's wrong with the official story?
Oh, it's just so ridiculous. You know, once again, we were told that they were master planners. But how masterful could they have been when they hijacked planes up in Boston and the targets are down in New York, a half an hour ride away? They must have known, if they did their homework, that you can have an intercept anywhere over North America within 15 minutes. But in the Northeast, that time is cut back much shorter because there's so many military bases all up and down the East Coast, especially from Washington up to Boston, that you can have an intercept literally within 5 minutes and a shoot down. So, you know, that journey from New York to, from Boston to New York was five times the required length to have an intercept and or shoot down.
Well, you know, isn't it true that on the very day of 9/11, there were war games being conducted with Dick Cheney at the head of it?
Yeah, that's another interesting point. In fact, the same thing happened on 7/7, as it turns out. Isn't that convenient?
Well, yeah, that was in England. They were doing the same thing the very day that they had their
terrorism. Yeah, just a copycat type thing. You know, it's the same as government-sponsored terrorism once again. And they, as always, you know, Blair used that to pass more stringent rights-trampling laws. And it's so obvious what's going on here. But yeah, these terror drills served as a great distraction and confusion to prevent the proper type of response, you know, to thwart these attacks. People didn't know. They were looking at their radar screens, and they didn't know if they were looking at real hijacked planes or if these were, in fact, false blips. And so that was, you know, one of the reasons why there was such a delayed response, at least initially anyway. But that doesn't explain, you know, for the Flight 77's lack of response, because by 9:03, when the second tower was hit, NORAD admits they ordered the exercise to cease and they took the false blips off the screen. So why did Flight 77 hit its target? Or, well, it didn't. I mean, you know what I'm saying. But if you go by the official story, that was Flight 77 that hit the Pentagon. How could that have happened? That was 40 minutes later almost. And, you know, nothing was done to stop that. It's just ridiculous.
No, that was flying at treetop level.
Yeah. You know, one of the excuses given was that they didn't have adequate radar. That's why they didn't know where this plane was to stop it. You've got to be kidding me. Anybody who believes that has got to be the lowest one can sink.
Well,
in,
you know,
ignorance.
You can get up any morning and listen to Good Morning America or any other radio or TV program, and they'll always have, well, here's what America looks like with all the traffic. They pretend,
yeah.
I guess it's correct,
yeah,
that they have every plane in the sky, 3,500 planes in the sky they got full track of.
NORAD, you can't so much as escape their detection if you're a mosquito. I mean, they track every single aircraft simultaneously via computers and their satellite systems 24/7. But the whole point is, let's humor them. Let's play make-believe and assume that the headquarters of the world's most powerful military did not have adequate radar just, 40, 50 miles outside its range. That's what they claim, you know, that they didn't have adequate ground-based radar coverage. That was all the more reason to get military planes up in the air whose onboard radar certainly could have made up for any supposed lack of ground radar coverage. Why didn't they do that? There were no military planes set up in the air all during that 40 minutes when this known flying bomb was headed toward Washington. There were no planes, in fact, over Washington until 15 minutes after the Pentagon was hit. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. The best you could say about this is that we're dealing with colossally incompetent leaders in Washington, all of which need to be fired immediately and brought up for charges. But no, nothing was done. And, of course, we know that Cheney gave stand-down orders. We have that from Norman Mineta, the transportation secretary. He admitted before the 9/11 commission that he was in the basement, the bunker of the White House there, the White House bunker. And one of Cheney's aides was talking with him. He said, sir, there's a plane. It's 50 miles out. And by the way, so much for their claim that they couldn't track the plane. They were tracking it. This man was watching it come in. He said, sir, there's a plane headed in. It's 50 miles out. Do the orders still stand? And Cheney nods his head, yes. A few moments later, sir, it's 40 miles out. Do the orders still stand? Yes, yes. By the third time, sir, he's urgent now. You know, sir, it's now 30 miles out. Are you sure the orders still stand? And Cheney looks up and he snaps at him. Of course they still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? Like, be quiet and continue to enforce these orders. And so Mineta was asked at this point, were there orders given to shoot this plane down at this time? And he says, no, sir, no such orders were given. So what orders was this man asking for confirmation of? Obviously, confirmation of stand-down orders. Otherwise, the plane would have been shot down immediately. Why would he keep asking? The fact that he was asking with such urgency, he could not believe that he was being told to stand down and allow this flying bomb to head in toward Washington. So Cheney played a very key role in ensuring that the Pentagon was hit. He is personally responsible for everybody who died that day in the Pentagon, at least.
Wow. Wow.
No question about it. But did the 9/11 Commission pursue this? No. And by their own admission, I guess they didn't feel obliged to, because they said that their purpose was not to point any fingers of blame.
Big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Well, we're back, listeners. Charles, the topic we were on right before that commercial break, incidentally, we had it sneak up on us and didn't know about it.
Yeah,
and some of your answers might have been cut off. You were talking about how
Flight 77 is coming in from the west to Washington, D.C., and Cheney's in the basement talking to some of his aides and telling him, hey, don't do anything about it.
Yeah, and Congress, the 9/11 Commission, they didn't pursue this, as they should have. I mean, that was something, you know, very suspicious right there. And they changed the subject. They didn't pursue this matter with Mineta at all. And then later we find that, you know, Hamilton, Zellico, and Keene all made statements to the effect that, you know, we weren't on a witch hunt here. We weren't trying to point fingers of blame. We just wanted to make sure that nothing like this ever happened again. So the purpose of the commission was not an investigation at all. They admit it. It was just to make sure nothing like this happened. So, I mean, you know, this whole thing just reeks. And, of course, that didn't make it into the commission report, that whole statement by Mineta. It was on their website, still is as far as I know, but it did not make it into the actual 587-page cover-up report.
So we have this Arab, and you mentioned his name this morning, the one that was allegedly piloting Flight 77.
Yeah.
He's coming in from the west, and this morning, let's kind of recover that ground again about how the Pentagon was attacked and the fancy flight maneuver that was required in order for this to splash that big airplane into the Pentagon.
Right. There's no way that plane could have been what hit the Pentagon for several reasons. First of all, a commercial airliner cannot undergo a maneuver like that, dropping 10,000 feet in just a, you know, 20 seconds time at a 270-degree downward spiral turn, leveling off just a few feet off the ground for the last several hundred feet of its journey before hitting the Pentagon. Without the plane literally breaking in half, the onboard computers would not allow a pilot to execute a maneuver like that. It would recognize it as pilot error and override the pilot's command. But if a plane like that was able to undergo a maneuver like that, because of the tremendous 7 or 8 G-forces that would be created, it would actually cause all the occupants on the plane, including the pilot, to pass out from the powerful G-forces. So no matter how you look at this, and, you know, did the pilot, Hani Hanjour, actually have the skills to execute a maneuver like that? No way. His instructor said he was so bad that he refused to fly with him again just 6 weeks before the attacks. He said he would never go in the air with him again. He couldn't even fly a small Cessna, never mind a Boeing. And many Boeing pilots with 20, 30 years experience under their belt said that there's no way that they could maneuver a plane like that. Maybe a military plane, but not a, you know, not a 757. You know, and here's a guy with, you know, what, 6 years experience on a, 6 years, six weeks experience on a Cessna, and didn't even have competency to do that. And we're supposed to believe that he undertook a maneuver like this. I mean, it just goes beyond ridiculous, no matter how you look at this. It just is, it's not possible. To imply that this could have been pulled off the way that we've been told, I just can't. It's not a very positive outlook on the mentality of the average American to believe that. Of course, most Americans don't believe it anymore, thank goodness. But, the fact that so many for so long did fall for this, it doesn't say much for the intelligence of the American people. Then again, if you look at things like, you know, the BBC, where they were on the streets of New York, that time I heard the music.
Yeah, and also, you know, you can hear some of these, Sean Hannity, I hate to bring his name up, but he conducts these interviews with the average American on the street,
and they're just
dumb. Yeah. Hey, come back and listen after the 3 o'clock break.
It's true.